copyright forum of Christian leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
We're talking today about Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And so here is the verse in Ephesians 5. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. The context of this verse we should put in the setting of the entire book of Ephesians. The context is this. Ephesians 1:4, Paul starts out by saying to these Christians, God chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. That was God's plan for us, that we should be holy and blameless before Him, and that was His purpose in choosing us before the foundation of the world. And in order to be holy and blameless before Him, we have to become like God Himself in His moral character. So that's why Paul can say in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as beloved children. He is holy, we are to be holy. He is loving, we are to be loving. He is truthful, we are to be truthful. He is merciful, we are to be merciful. And so in many ways, we are to imitate the moral character of God. And that is part of what it means to fulfill God's purpose for us. In order to become like Him, to imitate His moral character, He wants us to understand His will and be wise. And so this paragraph in Ephesians 5 is crucial to the whole argument of Ephesians. God chose you to be holy and blameless before Him. In doing that, He wants you to be like Him in His moral character, be imitators of Him. And now Paul tells specific ways in which you can do that. So he says to us, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So part of being wise, part of understanding the will of the Lord, is worked out in this. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. It's an important part of His will for us. One important way that God fulfills His eternal purpose for us is Ephesians 5:18. And so, in the context of eternity, obedience to this verse, obedience to this command, is a crucial aspect of God's eternal purpose for us when He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. It has eternal consequences, and it is something God is pleased with. God is saying to each of us this afternoon, be filled with the Spirit. The Greek verb is a present imperative. We could interpret it or explain it a little further by saying it means be filled with the Spirit as a pattern of life. Be continually filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. If you were filled with the Spirit at one time in the past, you need refilling with the Spirit again today. Notice there's a comparison to being drunk with wine. I hope you did not get drunk yesterday. But if you did get drunk with wine yesterday, it would wear off, and you would have to get drunk again today in order to continue to be drunk. And so that's the bad example. But the good example is if you were filled with the Holy Spirit yesterday, you need to be filled again today. Continually be filled with the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you become filled with the Holy Spirit today, you will need refilling again tomorrow. So in that sense, this is a verse for every day of our lives. And it's so easy to forget. At least I find it is. And it's so hard to practice continually. And therefore, this is not an easy verse to talk about, because it's not something I can say that I obey, continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. My goodness, no, I cannot say that about myself. I wish I could, but I don't think I can, if I'm honest. But it's God's word, so I think we should go forward and try to understand it. What does it mean? Perhaps many of you can remember special times in the past, times when God seemed so near, times when you, as far as you know, you were filled with the Holy Spirit. Perhaps it was a retreat or a Bible conference. Or perhaps it was a time of personal crisis or sickness or even death of a loved one. Or maybe it was just a small group prayer meeting in a home when God was especially near and you did feel filled with the Holy Spirit. I would define it in this way. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I think this is on your handout, is to be filled with the immediate presence of God Himself. And therefore, it will result in feeling what God feels, desiring what God desires, doing what God wants, speaking by God's power, praying and ministering in God's strength, and knowing with the knowledge that God Himself gives. That's a kind of general definition. If that was true of you at one time or another in the past, I think you would say, there was such joy. My heart was filled with praise to God. I had such joy in the Lord. It was like joy unspeakable that Peter talks about. And when I prayed at that time, you would say, it seemed like the Holy Spirit was guiding my prayers, and I would ask things according to the will of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and God would answer those prayers. And my heart was so sensitive to the Holy Spirit's conviction, it'd be like the Holy Spirit, it was as if you could feel the Holy Spirit cleansing out impurities in your heart and perhaps healing some old wounds from long ago. And when you read the Bible seemed to speak directly to you with something for your life every time you would read it. And perhaps at that time also, there were examples where God was so clearly guiding your steps that you would just bump into people who had real hurts, or people who wanted to talk, or people who had a hunger to know Jesus personally. Many of you remember such a time in the past in your Christian life, and so do I, several times. But what happened? Somehow, I think we must have grieved the Holy Spirit, which Paul talks about in Ephesians 4:30. Somehow, we got up one morning and fell back into our old habits and old patterns of life. Somehow, what happened was Romans 8:5, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And the things of the flesh, I think, are just the ordinary ways of life in this world. It's thinking and functioning the way everybody else in the world functions. It's not necessarily doing anything morally wrong. It's just forgetting about the Holy Spirit and forgetting about God and His work. Somehow one morning you just got up and went to work, or if you're a student, you went to your class, or you went out to lunch, and you had no thought at all about the Holy Spirit's work and no thought at all about prayer. Spiritually, you just started surviving like everybody else around you, and you were no longer filled with the Holy Spirit. So God's word says you need refilling. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. But how? How do you do that? Well, before I talk about how to do it, I want to overcome some misunderstandings. I don't think it just happens to some people and not to others, as if there was nothing you could do about it. Notice the parallel to getting drunk with wine. It doesn't just happen to you. You have to go get some wine and drink it. I hope you don't, but it's an activity that you would have to actively choose to do. And I don't think it just magically happens because Paul commands you to do something about it. He commands us, and therefore he thinks there's something we can do to bring it about. It would be nonsense to command something if there was nothing we could do to obey it. There must be some things we can do to obey this command. So I don't think it just happens. I also don't think that being filled with the Holy Spirit is automatic or magical, as if you could just pray some special words and automatically you would be filled, or maybe have some special person lay hands on you, and then pow, you'd automatically be filled, and you'll be Spirit-filled forever. I don't think it's automatic or sort of magical in this way, because the Holy Spirit is a person. And we're talking about a relationship with a person who is also God. So what then can we do to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to suggest several things. First of all, sort of obviously, we can ask. Jesus says in Luke 11:13, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We could ask. We can ask the Father to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:5 tells us to ask in faith. It says, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And the obvious answer that Paul wants them to give is, of course, by hearing with faith, by hearing the Word of God and then believing it. So we can ask God the Father. I think we can also ask the Holy Spirit directly. He is a person. He is God. He is our comforter, our counselor, our encourager. I see no reason we cannot speak to him and say, Holy Spirit, will you please fill me with your presence, with your presence? So when we ask this of the Father or ask this of the Holy Spirit, I think we can know it is right to ask this because it's something that Scripture commands. But now, I've heard some people say, that's all you have to do. Just ask, and it will happen. But my objection to that is that there are a lot of commands in the Bible that just don't come about that way. We're told to ask, give us this day our daily bread, but it doesn't just happen. We have to go to work. And if you're planting a church or building a church and you think it is according to the will of God that you build this church, surely you're asking, Lord, please help us to build this church, but then you don't just watch television all day long. You go out and work at building the church. It doesn't just automatically happen because it's according to Scripture, and it's commanded in Scripture. So I think we should ask. But there probably is more. I want to suggest a second step is to spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Again, we're talking about a relationship with a person. The Holy Spirit is God. He is a person. And just as with a human person, you need to spend time together to develop a relationship, so it is with the Holy Spirit. Spend time in prayer and in worship, privately and with a small group or a larger group. When we pray, I think we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, Romans 8:5. When we worship, surely we set our minds on the things of the Spirit. But isn't it true that everything in this world tends to distract us? Everything in this world tends to draw us away from setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. Just walk around your neighborhood, and there are shops to buy things in, there are movies to rent, or at home, there are TV channels to watch, there are internet sites to visit, there are blogs to read, there are Facebook friends to communicate with, there are emails to answer, there are fitness centers to go to, there are friends to talk to, There are jobs to work hard at and succeed in, and these are all good things. But the result is our lives can be filled with thousands of morally good things that continue to call out to us. Look here, pay attention here, spend time here, have fun here, take your children to this, enjoy that, improve yourself in this, and we can be continually chasing after them like Martha, who is troubled about many things and who misses the good portion, that is Jesus himself. And so it is so easy that we can spend almost no time in the Lord's presence, and our hearts are restless, and we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Spend time in prayer and worship. Spend time alone in prayer every day. And I think also, seek to spend time regularly in a small group, a group of Christians that really prays, that gives much time to prayer. But I'm so busy, I don't really have time to pray, you might say. Okay, then I don't think you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've made your choices, and you are not spending time with Him. But notice in this context, in Ephesians 5, Paul is saying your lives should be different from those of the unbelievers around you. Ephesians 4:17, just the earlier chapter. This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Ephesians 5:8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:15, look then carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Paul is saying if you follow Christ, your life is going to be different from those around you, and I think that means the allocation of your time to various kinds of activity is going to be different. Do something different from everybody else. Spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit. A third step, I think, is read the Bible and obey it. It's God's word. It's inspired or breathed out by the Holy Spirit. Spending time in the Word of God is listening to the Holy Spirit. Personally, I find that my heart is not at peace in the morning until I take time and read the Bible quietly, seeking to have God speak to me through it. And even this morning, Margaret and I got up later than before. We rushed off to breakfast, and I had two conversations at breakfast, and we got back to the room, and Margaret, who is so quick to pick up on things, did not like my attitude in either of those conversations. And she mentioned it. Well, I'm thankful for that, and I needed to spend time. I did intend to eat breakfast and then come back and spend time with the Lord, but my heart wasn't right, and I did spend some time in prayer, and then I was able later in the day to bump into both of those persons and just, I think, set things right and say, maybe I was wrong about what I said. Read the Bible and obey it. If we live in disobedience to God's word, I do not think we can expect the Holy Spirit to fill us with his presence. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. If we walk in disobedience, we grieve the Holy Spirit, and I do not think we can expect that he will fill us with his presence. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Obedience, then, obedience to God's word is part of his purpose in choosing us. Ephesians 1:4, that we should be holy and blameless before him. To be wise, in Ephesians 5:15, to understand what the will of the Lord is, in verse 17, it is to be obedient to his word and to be imitators of God in as beloved children, in Ephesians 5:1. So, number three, read the Bible and obey it. Number four, yield. Yield your life to the influence and direction of the Holy Spirit. This is parallel to yielding to the influence of wine. To be drunk with wine means that the wine takes over. It has a significant influence on controlling your activity. Paul says it leads to debauchery, that is, to a reckless life with no thought for the destructive consequence of your action. By contrast, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit will guide and direct you. The verb is passive. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. There is, I think, a yielding, a receiving, a giving up of control of your life to Him. Paul says in Romans 8:14, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So I think if we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we have to be willing to say, Holy Spirit, and Lord Jesus, and God, my Heavenly Father, I will follow you where you lead me. I yield my life to you. I yield my plans to you. I yield up my ambitions to you. I yield up myself to you. Many of you have been Christians for a number of years. And many of you probably know from your own experience just what I am talking about here. When I say that several times in my life, God has brought me to the point where I just yielded everything in my life to God. Many of you have done this too. Lord, all that I have is from you. All that I have is yours, and you are free to take it. My health, my career, my home, my church, my wife, my children, all that is dear to me, all that is precious to me, my very life, Lord, I do not hold these things with a closed fist, but with an open hand. If you choose to take them from me, Lord, I will still love you. I will still serve you. I will still worship you. You are more than all these things that are most precious to me. Can you do that? Many of you sitting in this room have done this already in your life. David said in Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Jesus also taught something like this. Matthew 10:37, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So step number four, I think in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's important to yield your life to the influence and direction of the Holy Spirit. And then number five, wait. Acts 1:4, while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And I have to say, in my own experience, times of closeness with God do not come on me quickly. It takes time. It takes some time of just waiting in the presence of the Lord. Each morning I read a section of the Old Testament and I read a section of the New Testament. And then I have a notebook that I have with different pages, and I pray for my own personal life and forgiveness of sins. I pray for my wife. I pray for my children. I pray for my church. I pray for my seminary and different people's names I have in this list. But either just before I go through that notebook or just at the end, I just wait in the presence of the Lord. I don't read another verse. I don't try to say another prayer. I'm just still. And it's in those times, again and again, that God seems to make his presence known to me in a stronger way. It just comes from being still and waiting before the Lord. Waiting is good for us spiritually. It humbles us. It quiets our hearts. When we wait quietly before the Lord, we're saying, Lord, I can't demand that you do anything. You are in charge here. I am not. I wait on you. I depend on you. I long for you, Lord. I trust in you. And I'll be still. A number of verses in the Bible talk about this. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, the secret Hebrew meaning of the word translated wait here, I think, is wait. I have Martin here, who's an Old Testament linguist. I should be careful. But it just means to wait. I don't think there's a special or unknown meaning to it. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. So I think this waiting means just that. It just means resting quietly in God's presence. Just being still. Not trying to think of more things to say, not trying to sing another song or read another verse or do something else. Just wait. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. I think you can do this privately. I think you can also do it in a small group, a small prayer group, if you're willing just to take the time to have some periods of silence. God will often work in a special way in our hearts in those times. Wait for the Holy Spirit to fill you with his presence. Then, number 6, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 again, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but continually be filled with the Spirit. Honestly, I'm going to just say to you, for me, this is the hardest part. When I'm alone, when I spend time in prayer and reading the Bible, I think there's a sense of nearness to the Holy Spirit or some kind of fullness of the Holy Spirit that comes to me from time to time. But then I turn to other things. I make a phone call. I go to some appointment. I go to the store. I eat lunch. I check my email. I check the news online. To see what political disaster has happened today, or whatever interests you. And I forget about the Holy Spirit. And then I think I grieve him. That sense of his presence leaves me. To use an analogy, it's like taking a friend with you when you go on some errand. And then at the store, you meet some important person, the mayor of your town or someone else, and you start talking to this important person, and you completely forget that your friend is there beside you. And your friend is wondering, well, am I important at all? Have you completely forgotten about me? Rather than continually remembering your friend's presence and saying, ah, Mr. Mayor, this is my friend, or this is my husband, or this is my wife. I think perhaps a large part of the solution to this might come in fellowship with others that together seek a closer, deeper walk with God in a group that prays at length and then encourages one another. But I think this is one of the biggest challenges of the Christian life. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit during ordinary events of life. Because the present world so distracts us, so tempts us to forget about Him. It's not all easy, but God's Word still commands it. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I believe it's possible. I honestly think this is a hard verse to obey. I don't think there are many people today who are continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 6:3 says, "Pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom." And they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Or Acts 11:24, "Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith." I have met a few people in my life that seem to me to be walking close to the Lord in fellowship with the Holy Spirit like this, and they seem to be frequently filled with the Holy Spirit. And maybe you've known one or two other people like that in your life, but I don't think it's common. At this meeting, I've had a number of people say to me, and in other points in my life, people have said to me, "Oh, that book you wrote helped me," or "I was helped by that book," and that's nice, and I'm thankful for that. But I don't know about you. It isn't often that I hear people say, "When I'm around you, I feel closer to God." Are they saying that about us? See, I think that's a... If that's not happening, then are we really being filled with the Holy Spirit? I don't know. If people start saying that about us, perhaps we're making progress in being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think you know that it has happened at times in the past in your own life. I know it's what God commands, and so, though I don't think it's easy, I think it's possible to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if that happens, then what would our life be like? Paul mentions some results in the following verses. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, there would be spiritual counsel, there would be edifying praise and worship of God, seeking making melody to the Lord with all your heart. There would be a constant attitude of thanksgiving, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there would be humility and submission to those in authority, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I think other verses in the Bible indicate that there would be other kinds of consequences. There would be victory over demonic opposition. Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." There would be more spiritual gifts evident in the life of the church, because 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, "All these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." There would be more understanding of, or some would say revelation of, God's will in specific circumstances, because Paul prays in Ephesians 1:17 that God may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And he says, "Walk by the Spirit and live by the Spirit," in Ephesians 5:16 and 5:25, "and then we will not gratify the desires of the flesh." I think we would see greater holiness of life if by the Spirit, Romans 8:13, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I think we would see more wonderful answers to prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. I think we would see fruitful ministries. Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And I think we would see great peace in our hearts. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And so this is the command of the Lord to us, and I think it is a challenge, a good challenge. Do not get drunk with wine, in which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit.